Well, welcome everyone to the second session in our series, The Blessing. And as we talked last week, I'm going to put that in all caps because I want you to see it as something that is pervasive and very, very important. So I guess all caps means we want to shout about it. And that's definitely the case with this. Now, last week, we began by just giving an introduction to the blessing. So let me pick up or start today, I should say, by doing a very quick review of what we saw last week concerning the blessing. And then we'll pick up and talk about something that is very important to us to understand concerning the blessing. In Romans 15:29, we looked at this verse plus two others. And let me read this one to you. It says, "But I know that when I come to you," Paul writing, saying, "I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." So we see here by this verse that Paul is telling us that we can walk in the blessing. We can even walk in the fullness of it, which we're going to be getting into that as we go through more. But he's saying, that's how I'm going to come to you. So we know that believers, after Jesus' time on earth, were able to do that. Now, some would say, well, it was just so they could start the church. No, we're going to walk through this and see that it is for us today. We begin then looking in Genesis, the first chapter at creation. And let me just read 28, which is where the blessing was given. So it starts off in verse 28 of Genesis 1 saying, "Then God blessed them." Now, I would ask the question, how did he bless them? And the next phrase tells us that. "And God said to them," now that is so important. Don't overlook it. We'll spend more time as we go through this study on it. But this is how God released his power for all of creation. And this is yet another example of it. He tells them then as the blessing or as the enabling power, "Be fruitful and multiply." So what he's telling them is, I'm giving you everything you need. I'm positioning you to be fruitful and multiply. And what was he telling them to do in doing that? He said to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, we talked about the fact that he didn't say fill the garden. He said fill the earth. So this was going to have a long-term impact on what mankind was able to do on this earth. He went ahead and let me just say, I said last week, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm more convinced than ever that he envisioned that man would take this enablement and pass it along and be able to subdue what? The whole earth, not just the garden. And then he told him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living thing that moved on the earth. So the blessing was given. An enablement, much like when he graces us to do something, we have coming with it the power to accomplish that. The Hebrew word for blessed is barak, B-A-R-A-K. Literally, it means to kneel or to submit oneself to another. Now, in this case, the greater is blessing his man. And in doing so, here's what he's really doing. He's empowering man to prosper. How? In every area. In other words, this blessing can impact every area of mankind's life. And this was the case when he blessed them originally. We saw in a theological word study book, which was the H.A.W. Theological Workbook, or Word Book, it notes that this word barak conveys the following: in doing, with power, for. And then he lists several items. The first is success. The second is prosperity. The third we saw was used the word fecundity, which I didn't know what it meant, so I had to look it up. And we saw that it meant the quality or the power of producing fruit, especially what? In abundance. It also could mean productive quality or power. So with that definition of fecundity, let me start at the beginning so we get the full picture of this. In doing with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, longevity, etc. In other words, everything else that you need for success was what the blessing produced. And scholars have indicated, and I've studied this out this past week, that this is in an active verb form. It is a prolonged. It is to continue. We then skipped down and looked at verse 31 because I think this is something that positions us better to receive what we've just talked about. Verse 31 says, God saw that everything he had made, and indeed, a really important word, it was very good. Now, the indeed word really could mean look hard at this or see this clearly. Everything was very good. And what did we comment about on the indeed? Well, we take it, and it's been taught, and rightfully so, that when he created man, everything went from being good to very good. And that is, I believe, true. But when we add this word indeed to see the completeness of this, then what we begin to see and what the Lord spoke to me, that not only were we made in the image and likeness of the Lord, but we were also made for his fellowship. So the very good means that everything is complete. I now have a man with whom I can fellowship. I've blessed him. I've put him in an environment where he can prosper in every way. And this was God's desire, or we might say his will, to have a man with whom he could fellowship. And all this creation was for that man. Now, why would he do this? Why would he want to fellowship with this man? Because he loved him. He loves us in the same, very same way. And so what I'm beginning to see is that creation is about a family project. Again, a family to love just like he loves Jesus. And that's what John 17, 23 tells us. Now, we concluded last week by asking the question, are we putting too much emphasis on all this stuff about blessing? I mean, really and truly, is it just supposed to be all our focus is upon Jesus? And here's how we answered. Yes, from our perspective, all our focus is to be on Jesus. But from Jesus's perspective, it's all about you. That just blesses me. The more I say that, the more excitement I can feel in my spirit, man, as that becomes more of my identity. And it's from that identity, I think, that we're able to flourish as God wants us to. Bottom line is, we always say Jesus is the reason for the season. I understand that. I'm not belittling. But really and truly, what have we just seen? You and me, we are the reason for the season. And Jesus, we celebrate because that's when he came to bring redemption to us. We celebrate him, but he does what? He puts his focus on us, and I would say it the way Scripture says it. We are the pleasure of his creation. Now, how can I say that? And this is a verse I didn't read last week, but the Lord brought it to my heart as I was putting this review together. In Revelation 4, the 11th verse, and this is from King James, says this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Yes and amen. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, don't just read that as they were created. They are and they were created. His whole desire, again, is to fellowship with us. And it's just not going to be while we're on this earth. It's going to be for that eternity. You are his pleasure. And what was the best part of creation? Not just the earth, but man. That's the whole purpose of creation. And what did he want to do? He wanted to be able to bestow his goodness because of his great love to us and fellowship with us, both here on this earth and also throughout eternity. So today I want to shift because I think there's a big hindrance that keeps us from being able to see that we can walk in the fullness of this blessing. And that really starts by understanding, and this is the title for today's session, sin could not stop the blessing. Sin could not stop the blessing. So let's look at another verse as we start this session. which we also briefly went over last week, and it's in Galatians 3, 8 and 9. The New American Standard reads this way, "And the Scripture," and this is Paul writing again, "foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith." So we're going to be justified just as if I'd never sinned. How? By faith, not by works. Very different from the children of Israel. He foresaw that, and he preached the gospel concerning that to Abraham, beforehand to Abraham. And here's what he said. All the nations, all the different people groups, shall be blessed in you. And then in verse 9, he says, so then those who are of faith, those who believe in Jesus, that he was sent to the earth, he took our sins, he took them to the cross, did away with them, he was resurrected. We were therefore able to be put to death with him as we are laid down in baptism symbolically and raised up with him. And now we're not only raised, we're seated with him in the heavenly places. So then those who are of faith are blessed, past tense, already happened, with Abraham, the believer. Now, let me read you this one in verse 9, because I like what it says here. I think it makes it much more clear. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. That's what the New American Standard says. New Living says this. So all those who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Abraham's works did not earn him right standing. His right standing came through faith, just like ours does today. And we're going to see as we look next week how Abraham was blessed and how that tied into the original blessing. And so it really goes all the way back. So you may say, Minton, are you trying to say that the blessing that was declared over mankind is available and active in us today? No, I'm not trying to hint that at all. I am flat out saying yes. And we've got a couple of scriptures we've already seen now in the Word where it tells us that we share in Abraham's blessing just as we're going to see this. Now, the question that might arise then is, that I would have for each of us, and I had to search my heart and answer this. How have I seen all the blessings that I've believed for? How have you seen all the blessings that you believe for? Have you seen those and received them and been thankful for them as individual gifts or blessings? Have you seen them as unrelated expressions of his love? He does this time. He does something else different. And I would answer and say this. Neither of those is accurate. They are neither. You cannot separate the blessings of God that we receive today from those he declared over man when this earth was created. And that's what we're going to continue to study so that we can see these and walk with them. These blessings that we've received are really part of the whole of the blessing. One blessing spoken over mankind that established God's will for mankind, and I'll add the phrase, for all time. He blessed Adam and Eve, as we talked about last week, everything they would need to do to become the people that he had predestined them to become. And what he released is also his will for mankind today, which is back to you and me, to provide all of us anything we would ever need. In other words, he empowered all mankind for all time. Now, let me give you a verse that begins to build on this, and then we'll begin to talk about something that impacted the blessing. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, New American Standard, says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That multiplication is part of the blessing. Verse 3 goes on and says, seeing that his divine power, that power he released how? When he spoke the words of the blessing over mankind. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, this is in New Testament, and it's really validating what we've been talking about in Genesis 1. He goes on to say, for by these what? For by these divine power declarations that he's given us, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, covenant promises that we've been given. We're going to tie covenant into this before we get through. In order that by them, you might become partakers of the divine nature. We have become this new being that never before existed when we were born again. And it's by them, by those great and precious promises we've been given that tie back to the blessing that it flows. But I want us to look at this last phrase too, because this leads us into the next part of it. Having escaped that is in the corruption in the world by lust, by wanting what maybe have been lacking in some eyes, or by wanting things that maybe God did not plan for us or desire for us to walk in. So in saying that then, let's answer the question, are we saying that sin impacted the blessing or not impacted the blessing? And I'll be straight up front with you. Yes, it actually impacted the blessing. In fact, it released the opposite of the blessing, which was what? The curse. The curse that was spoken over the ground, over the earth. It was told what would happen to Eve in childbearing, what that Adam would have to work and physically toil and labor, something that wasn't in the blessing. And so what I would say then is that even though it released the curse for the first time, sin did not impact God's original will for man. Let me say that again. Sin did not change God's mind or his will of what he wanted for his special creation. Now, we're spending time on this today because what does sin lead to? It leads to us condemning ourselves. And that's a big factor for many people who have difficulty seeing themselves walking in these great and precious promises, which are the things that he said he would do for us in more definitive terms that all flow back to the blessing. So let's back up and look up and see what really caused Adam and Eve's deception. And I think in this, we're going to get some keys of things we need to do. Now, what did we say earlier? That this verse that we looked at in 2 Peter 1:4 said, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And you're going to see the role that lust played in this. Adam and Eve really decided they could walk in their own wisdom, or in other words, act independently from God by doing what they wanted to do versus what he said was available for them. They lusted after that which they were told, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't eat it. They lusted after what they could not have. Now, isn't it interesting? It talks about we've escaped that lust and the sin that came with it. And this is really where they fell. All else was available to them in the garden but this one tree, so they acted on their own lust. And the devil told them, no, you won't die, but God had already said, in doing so, you will certainly die, spiritually and physically. And this was the time that the spiritual death occurred. Man was never intended to be separated from God, which this spiritual death did, in any way. What were we created for? To fellowship with him continually. Again, we were the pleasure of his creation, and that's what he wanted to do, and we see that over and over in our new covenant. Let me just show you a couple of scriptures here. In 1 John 1, verses 2 through 4, John writes, the life, talking about Christ, was manifested, and as we've seen, in other words, they saw him, and so we bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. So we go back to this. It's about fellowship. It's about hearing from God, doing what He's saying, not disobeying, but being in His will so that we accomplish those things that He's desired for us. And then these few verses end in verse 4 saying this, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Now, joy is a spiritual force. It's not the same thing as happiness. It's something that comes up from the inside. And we'll do probably a whole session on joy because there's some revelation I've gotten about joy even when turmoil is going on up in a level that we're seeing and experience. Joy is a spiritual force that we can live in as we walk in the blessing. Now, the second thing that I want to say that they broke when they tried God and ate the fruit which was forbidden to them is that they also just challenged or rebelled against His authority. We were created to be under the authority of God. Do you know the same applied to Jesus when He walked this earth? Listen to what the scripture says when the centurion has asked Jesus to come heal his servant, whom he loves dearly. But he says some things about himself, but they're also about Jesus. It says, Jesus started out on his way with him. This is Luke 7, verse 6. And when he was already not far from the house, and Matthew tells us the same thing in his rendition of this also, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, don't trouble yourself further, for I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did even not consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word." So there's that word that carried power concerning the blessing. Coming back to us, that thought process. He said, "You just say the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority." Now let's pause there. I too am a man under authority. So what is he saying about Jesus? You are a person under authority. I see that because normal man cannot do the things that you're doing when you speak words. So this is what he's declaring to Jesus. I see you are a man under authority. Now, Jesus never corrected. In fact, he talked about what great faith. He said, "With the soldiers under me, who are under me, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant or slave, do this, and he does it." And that's when Jesus marveled at him and said, "I've not seen, even in Israel, have I found such great faith." So being under authority. Now, Jesus is referred to here as being under that authority, not the same authority, but being under an authority figure in his life who was what? The Father. Don't see this as trivial if you want to fully walk in the blessing. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I think it's important that we say, understanding we were made to be under authority. Let me show you Jesus's words on that in John 5:19. Jesus answers him and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So he's telling us, I too walk under authority. Now you may ask, well, is he talking about the Son of God here or the Son of Man? Well, I think he's talking about a Son of Man because he's talking about things that the Son of Man would do while on the earth. But if you think about it, even the Son, the only begotten Son, is under authority. That's why he submitted to the Father to come to the earth. Jesus refuses to do anything, to say anything except the Father's will. Oh, that's so important. Now, does it sound too good to be true? You know, almost. So I would ask this question, because we're talking about this blessing propagating and working its way down and being available still for us today. Does God change His will for man? Well, let's just look at a couple of scriptures, and there's many more I could use, but I want to use two today. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord. I do not change." God is love. That will never change. Thus His will, His desire for His man changed. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Old covenant, new covenant. God changed the way He had to interact with man. But God's will for man never really changed. Hebrews 13:8 of Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There's another one that talks about in Him there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Father was very clear to His man about His will and His purpose for us when He spoke to him in Genesis. And what He said, He meant it, and in speaking it, He released His word of power that did what? Caused it to be. Now, let's ask the question then and go back to Adam's sin. What about that sin? Let me just make this statement. Neither Adam's sin nor any other man's sin was going to change His will to mankind. His word released the blessing, which encompasses all of His promises, and it was settled when He spoke it. You know, we tend to say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I understand what we're saying there, but the fact is, God said it, and that settled it. Now, let's step back again and look at Adam's sin. Did it have an impact? Certainly. Because what happened? The curse came. But God had a plan. And let me say this boldly. Adam's act did not change God's will, nor His purpose. From eternity past, Father had already provided in the blessing for us, for us who came after sin, to walk in His power. How do you know that, Minton? How can you say that? Well, let's talk about Revelation 13, verse 8. Now, this scripture is referring to Jesus and the Book of Life, and it refers to Jesus in this way, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, 8. So, before creation, Father had a plan for us, those whom He loved, even though we were not even thought of by our parents. And it was aimed at sin and all that sin brought to the earth. Death, sickness, disease, lack, worry, poverty, and it just goes on and on. And how did He plan for this? An act of redemption. And folks, He even showed it to the children of Israel, that this was His will for them, well before Jesus, because that's what the children of Israel were set and called to do, is to bring forth the Son of God through their lineage, through the lineage of David. In Exodus 12, 7 and 8, and I'll go through this quickly. This is the account of the Passover when God is instructing them that He's going to deliver them from Egypt, and He's telling them how He's going to do it. Take a lamb, examine it for 3 days, slaughter the lamb at night altogether, because the sin is for the sin that is to be covered by the blood of the lamb is for all. And listen what it says in 7 and 8. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they ate. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So what are we seeing here? The blood protected them from death. In other words, the original spiritual death, this is symbolic of what? Of God's favor, God saying, you're my people, and I'm restoring back your right standing. And then they ate the lamb that was roasted in the fire, and they took with it unleavened bread and bitter herbs. So what we see here is the blood is protecting them from sin, but then eating the flesh is restoring all the rest of the blessing that they had. In this case, they were partaking of the life of the lamb, the food, and it was restoring the health which sin, as they were slaves to Egypt, which is a type of sin, just devastated their bodies. Now, what we see here in this then is God used the blood and the body of Jesus to perform an act of redemption, to take away sin and everything that it brought with us. Now, does that remind you of something that we do today, that second sacrament we have, which is what? Communion? It should, and we'll talk to it. You know, we see even in Isaiah 53, in verses 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, those words griefs and sorrows there is sicknesses and pains. Literally, in Young's literal translation, that's what it says. Yet we esteemed him smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the sin. Then he says the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. So the forgiveness of sin and all that came with it, all that evil, this is providing us access to the blessing as a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. All established in eternity past, for his family, for us. And as we close here, I just want to remind you, and I believe and I hope you're beginning to see, that when this blessing was released, his word with power, that blessing spoken in Genesis 1:26 contained the power for everything that we need. Now, in our next session, we're going to begin to talk about and see the blessing propagated through man and see how it all points back to that original blessing in Genesis 1:28. Folks, I love you. I really pray that we get this deep down in us so that we can walk more fully in the blessing that God has already provided and blessed us with. We'll see you next week.